Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
So, IMSA Radio and IMSA TV together, and now into the meat of the race, Jeremy. Now we're getting some meaningful laps. Now we're finding out what sort of laps people can turn in traffic, and this is where the drivers earn their money. It's hard enough to drive one of these cars when you've got a clear track in qualifying on your own, but now, picking your way through battles, this is what the teams look for. This is why people get hired. And the drivers, yes, they'll look at their fastest time, but they'll be looking at their stint average. And what they want to know is how they've done, given all of the conditions. And Ricky Taylor, with two Michelins on the grass there at the top of turn four, he's leaving nothing on the table at the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. It was super tough there. There was a huge knot of traffic, including the LMP3 leader, all the GTD cars, just about everyone, their dog, they had to pass on that lap. And Dane Cameron's lap time last time was 140.5. Remember, he had me turning 31s and 32s, that was awfully tight going down towards the inner loop. But it really is like a video game for Ricky Taylor there, and super tight as he passes the it's a GTD second place car and the LMP3 leader at the same time. But the gap between first and second has come down to about 3 seconds as they sort themselves out. But the real guy who's charging right now is Renger van der Zander in third position. He is getting a lot closer to Ricky Taylor, which is why Ricky, the pole sitter, had to work so hard to get around all that traffic.
And Shay, there's been an incident between a couple of cars, one of them the red and black number 38 prototype, that has got some damage. That's the performance tech car that was running quite well.
Yes, and that was the car that just had a shark bite taken out of the left-hand side. Contacts between it and the 42 of Don Yoon, as Don was being lapped by GTD cars as well as LMP3 cars, as well as DPI cars. It was very frenetic for the moment down in turn one. Race control is investigating. They have just come through and said no further action on that contact, but it has resulted in the 38 going back behind the wall for at least the time being while they assess the damage.
Well, that was a shame because they were running very well, Jeremy, there, to be honest.
Yeah. GTLM leader into the pits, number four car, Tommy Milner. Great start for him. Managed to get past his teammate, Antonio Garcia. They were running just a couple of seconds or so ahead or the best of the BMWs, Colin DeFilippi, who was, again, not very far ahead of the second one, which is John Edwards. And in between those two at the moment is Ben Keating in the LMP2 second-place car, trying to work his way back up toward Stephen Thomas, who got a huge lead now in the LMP2 category.
That incident reviewed no action that was being looked at, so the performance tech car and the number 42 NTE Sport Audi, no action from the race control. You might ask why we say that if nothing's happened. It's quite important, actually. It's a reasonable question. But it's important for race control to let people know that they are looking at it, including us and the teams, of course, and that they have made a decision on it, that they haven't just ignored it. And if they don't tell us they're looking at it, we won't know. And various teams up and down will go, oh, well, you didn't have a look at that. Yes, well, we did, but we didn't do anything about it. Well, we didn't say. So that's why they do it, so that everybody knows what the procedure is. In for a class leader into the pit lane, it's the number two United Autosport shirt, Adam.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're not going to take Austin McCusker out of that car just quite yet. Fuel, windshield tear off, and new tires, though, as well as a new drinks bottle. Also into the pit lane, the 25 BMW. It was Conor DeFilippi who brought it in And Connor might just take that car back out. The 36 for Jarrett Andretti, the LMP3 machine, is in fuel and tires for that car. No driver change there either. That was the car that came in from second place. Jarrett goes back out. Let's see where he cycles back in. Trying to catch McCusker has not been an easy task for anyone today. We've also had the Allegra Motorsport number 28 Mercedes into the pit lane. John Potter has just brought the Acura into the pit lane for Magnus. That car, I would expect John to stay behind the wheel. Only 1 hour and 8 minutes has elapsed, and the minimum driving time for GTD is an hour and a half. We've had Robbie Foley in for Turner Motorsports and Zach Robichon in for the Pfaff Porsche as well. So it's turning into a busy pit lane. And it is Spengler who takes back out the BMW, the number 25 machine. So that's interesting. Corvette changing their drivers seemingly at every stop, with Nick Tandy taking over for Tommy Milner. BMW have three drivers, and it appears that they're doing the same.
Corvette into the pit lane. This is the bright yellow car.
Yep, this is the yellow one, the championship leader, which I feel like we need to point out every time, basically to everybody else on the track to be aware, give him a little bit of extra room, because it's Jordan Taylor taking over. And Jordan, by my count, has not ever won the Salem 6 Hours at the Glen, so looking to try and check that off the bucket list today. Taking over for Antonio Garcia. Yep, that's correct. Jordan's never won this race. Really hard to believe that any tracks exist that Jordan hasn't won on. Also into the pit lane, fuel and tires for the Corvette, should say. Also into the pit lane, John Edwards in the 24 BMW. That is the black one, Corvette Racing. Just waiting on the fuel at this stage. And it is a clear shot out of the pit lane. Nobody in the box ahead of them, which is the Konica Minolta box. So it's easy for Jordan. He doesn't have to think about where to pit. It's just instinctual.
Question about that coming in from a number of people on at IMSA Radio. That's how you get in touch with us, by the way, here in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. How are the pit stalls allocated race to race, Shea?
Championship points is how the pit stalls are allocated. So based on how well you've done thus far in the season, that's where your pit box is. And they stagger them according to classes. And it is a bit tricky there on in, but just think the further up the championship you are, the closer to pit out you will be.
So what we had there then was the championship leading DPI, then the championship leading GTLM, being the two full pro classes. They were pitted at the very far end of the pit lane. Then the other classes, the leaders go through that. And that's the overall championship rather than any of the sub-championships. And generally speaking, then it's the second place cars, the third place cars, etc.
Correct. And the pit lane, just to give you an idea for the first few boxes, to confirm that, Wayne Taylor Racing, then Corvette Racing, then Mazda Motorsport, and then would have been WeatherTech Racing. So the pit lane for this weekend is staggered, with the pro course, the pro cars more toward the front. But normally it goes DPI, GTLM, LMP2, GTD, LMP3, and so on and so forth. But we've got more pit callers. Into the lane comes the 14. This was the pole-sitting car. Kyle Kirkwood, I believe, double-stinting. And yes, thank you, Pam, for dropping that information into me to know ahead of time. So Kyle staying aboard, fuel, tires, and it looked like they cleaned the windshield for him, too. So it's practically his birthday, just waiting on the fuel. And then Kyle will go back out for his second stint of this six-hour race.
Shea Adam with that VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock report, and the fuel is the determining factor there for that pit stop. All the other work was done before the squeal of Michelin tyres heralded the departure on the pit lane speed limiter of that Lexus, now heading back out into the back into the fight. The sister car had a driver change, Jeremy.
Yeah, I believe Robert McGuinness has taken over from Frankie Montecalvo, number 12 car. That was running in the third position before the pit stops. The other car that's running really well. Has it yet pitted? Yeah, number 28 car, that has pitted as well. I think we've had most of the leaders in now in GTD. And because of all this cycle of stops now, Corey Lewis, who stopped out of sequence it took over the number one car out of sequence after 10 laps into the race. He now leads the class at the moment, but he'll be due a pit stop fairly soon.
4 hours and 46 minutes to go. And penalties coming in. Shea Adam is watching race control.
This time it's just a warning. Next time they will not be so friendly, but Big Brother is watching at all times. And by Big Brother, I mean race control. It was a late pit entry, a warning for car number three. That was Antonio Garcia who brought it in. Yesterday we saw the race decided by a pit entry penalty. No spoilers there. But Big Brother, they watch, they know, and they'll give you one warning. But if it's in a heat of the moment situation, they might not be so kind.
I think they've got away with one there, to be honest. First indiscretion. So let's just again remind ourselves what's going on at the front of the field as the leading cars have all done their first stops. It's 3.8 seconds ahead for the Meyershank Acura. Conyngham and Alter in second, 3.6 seconds behind. Jimmy Johnson into the fight, back into the IMSA competition. Last time around, 134.1, which is decent enough through traffic, learning all the time, of course. Been successful in sports cars, learning new skills all the time, of course, with his parallel IndyCar program. And these sports cars a little bit bigger, quite a lot less horsepower, and probably a bit more aero than the Indy cars, so a very different beast, but transferable skills nonetheless, particularly on road courses, where he's clearly building up his confidence. Last time around, Harry Tinknell puts in a 32.0 for the car that Jimmy Johnson is behind at the moment, although by 25 seconds. That's the best time for that Mazda. That 48 Ally car sitting in sixth position at the moment, some 41 seconds away from the leader. As I say, 26 seconds now away from the car ahead of it. 7 seconds ahead of Tristan Vautier in the slightly delayed Mustang sampling JDC Miller car. And Vautier's last lap, 33.9. Going to keep an eye on that because it was 34 the lap before. He's mired in traffic at the moment. Let's just check to make sure that's all it is. So I'd expect 48 to be a bit quicker than that, unless he's running to a fuel number.
He's been struggling from the start, John, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm a bit going to keep an eye on that one. As I say, he was delayed in the bus stop when he was, I think, only one place further up. I think he was only been up as high as sixth.
He was 50. He made a great start. Was up to fifth from sixth on the grid.
Yes.
But you're right. He was passed at the restart by the number 31 car, and after that was clearly holding up number 55 car. Apparently holding up the 55 car. So when that incident when he had to run off the road in avoidance of number 38, he's just slipped back, which is kind of the pace he has been running, to be honest. So it's a long, long way to go, but his best lap in that number five car, it's a full second off for everybody else in DPI so far in this race.
Another message from race control, John. The incident involving the 48 and 28, that's the Allegro Mercedes, and the 48 of Jimmy Johnson, the Ally Cadillac, under review. We saw Michael de Quesada very briefly nudge Johnson going into turn eight, a dangerous spot. But race control is taking another look at that.
Been pretty quick to turn these around. They haven't had a raft of incidents, so it's not as if they're backing them up. And they do like to get answers as quickly as possible, even in the longer races. And the teams appreciate that. You hear us talk a lot about consistency of decision. It's like any umpire or referee in any sport. You want to be able to point to something and say, well, last time, this is what happened. And this time, well, yeah, same thing has happened. So, same penalty? Yeah, absolutely. And the guys up in race control are all either current or former racers, and so they've got a bit of experience on the circuits themselves, so they can look at the incidents with experienced eyes. Thanks to Rob Lomas up in London, who has been looking after us for the first part of the race today. We welcome in Kez Cobb for our radio listeners, and thanks to Alyssa up in Charlotte, who's been looking after us for our TV side of things, and it's Jake now who is looking after us there. So a little bit of a pit stop and a change of personnel on the technical side of things. They've all been very busy tracking down making sure rather that we get to the world in sound and vision. IMSA Radio, RS2 around the world, and on XM202. Hindhoff and Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast booth. Shea Adam with an update in this VP Racing Fuel Pit Report.
There has been action on that incident between the 48 and the 28, and blame has been handed to Jimmy Johnson, but it's just a warning. But incident responsibility, again, race control watching, making decisions quickly, and deeming that not enough to ruin someone's race, but if it happens again, they will be coming down the pit lane.
Okay. Another team who have dodged a penalty there. That's a couple of warnings we've seen handed out.
Interesting, huh?
Well, you know, there will be teams on their first indiscretion that will hope they get exactly the same treatment. That's what I'm talking about with consistency there, Jeremy. Yeah,
absolutely right. Jimmy,
but that's fine.
First time he's driven. He has actually driven the Watkins Glen 6 hours before Jimmy Johnson. He did it back in 2010, I think it was, with Alex Gurley and John Foley, finished sixth in DP that year. So he does have experience here. He knows what it's all about, but there wasn't the same amount of traffic back in those days. There were only two classes in a Rolex GT in those days. So it's a bit different now, and he's certainly been struggling a bit. He's fallen 30-odd seconds behind the Mazda, when they came out of the pits after the stops, he was directly behind the Mazda. So he's lost a fair bit of ground there. But to be fair, he still maintained a very similar gap back to Tristan Vautier, who is behind him. But certainly up towards the front, things have been closing up. Dane Cameron now at the moment leads by only about a second over Ricky Taylor. So the two Acuras have closed right up. Right behind them also is Renger van der Zander, who I talked about a little bit earlier on. He has been closing in. And then as we're getting ready for the next round of pit stops, Pipo Durrani had been closed upon in fourth position. He's just in the pits now. But Harry Tinknell has made good progress. He's now only about 11 seconds behind the overall leader. You might remember quite a while ago, it was over 16 seconds.
Great battle as well going on between fourth and fifth in GT Daytona, with Aidan Reid in the number 96 Turner Motorsport car battling with Michael Di Casada for Allegra. They got side by side a moment or two ago while Jeremy was speaking in that inner loop area. And now the sound of rattle guns in the pit lane means it's another pit stop for Shea Adam to tell us about.
And this time, Pipo has been pulled out of the car by Felipe Nasr, about the only guy in the pit lane that I think could actually pull Pipo out of that car, for the 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac fuel tires, and another Brazilian to go out on the racetrack and set some fast lap times. Jimmy Johnson is in the pit lane and will stay in the pit lane. That is his stint done for now. Jimmy out of the 48 Ally Cadillac. Simon Pagenaud taking over. So they have cycled through all three of their drivers within the first hour and a half of this race. Fuel and tires for that car as well, and checking the damage to the back left of that car, making sure that everything is okay where the Mercedes met it. And also into the pit lane, Tristan Vautier for the 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac. Have to wait and see if Tristan stays aboard for a triple, or if they hand over to rookie to this race at least and track, Loic Duval, and not so rookie to this race and track, a previous race winner, Sebastian Bourdais.
37 minutes on the stint, or 23 laps for Pipo Durrani in the 31 red and white Cadillac, 36 and 23 laps for Jimmy Johnson, and 36 and a half and 23 laps for the Mustang Sampling 40-year driven car. They were all green flags, so I think we can say that 23 laps is probably about the run, 23 or 24 laps for those DPIs. So expect Dane Cameron in a couple. Renger van der Zander probably next time around, Jeremy.
Yeah, judging by the last round of pit stops, the next car to be in the pit lane would be the 01. Yeah. That came in two laps after the 48 and the 5 last time around. And then the 60, number 10, number 55 came in one lap after the 01. So that's what we should be watching now over the next couple of laps.
Just a quick update, we're indebted to Declan Brennan looking after the Sun Energy One Racing number 75 as we get four wide across the stripe there. I actually breathed in as if that was going to make a blind bit of difference, quite frankly. It was a right rear suspension issue. It's being fixed. They will get that car back out. So the team working very hard to get the Sun Energy One machine back out, the number 75 car out back on the circuit. So Shape, what you saw was absolutely correct. Just going back to those stint lengths, Jeremy, interesting to me that there were those differences in those pit stops. I can't imagine they're that different flat out. It suggests to me that the car's got 26 27 26 27 instead of 22 and 23 under the with the yellow flag. They must, I wonder if they've just got a better yellow flag map and they're using less behind the safety car.
Which cars?
Well, the cars who came in later on that last stop, because there wasn't really that much difference in the previous times that they had stopped, but we had yellow in there. We had five laps of yellow. And it was the start of the race to that point. That was their first stop. So the only difference, as I say, I wonder if they have a better map under yellow than the cars who pitted earlier. Because as you say, it was, Ollie Jarvis, he went four laps longer than the Whelen Cadillac on that first stint.
A new race leader here. We've got Ricky Taylor there. While they were passing traffic, getting past on the inside, heading down into turn one. And Renger van der Zander is right there as well. So the three leaders absolutely nose to tail. And Harry Turknell in the Mazda, he's only about another 7 seconds back. That was awfully tight. Heading down the front straight to passing the third place car in LMP2. That was Ben Keating and a whole bunch of other cars as well. That was really, really tight. But a first change of the lead in this race since the
first lap.
Well, not since the drop of the green flag, because there was a change on the first lap.
Yeah.
But since then.
Yeah, and that was the four wide across the line that I mentioned at the start of this lap. And that did result in a change of lead. So back to the front of the field then for the car that qualified on pole position. So only two cars have led, the 10 and the 60. And that could have been very messy and very expensive. Three class leaders in amongst that as well. First and second in DPI. First in the LMP2 category. And first in GTD. All there together. Goodness me. I did say I breathed in. And I did say it made not a blind bit of difference, quite honestly. Number two. United Autosports spitted out Hindhoff back in the pit lane. Now that seems early for me, but time goes by very quickly when we're having fun. Was that a standard stop? Shea Adam will tell us.
With that one, because Austin McCusker was the first of the LMP3 cars that came in the last time around, so it makes sense that machine would be the first one back in. It's still showing McCusker behind the wheel, so triple stinting for him. Not going to be doing another stint out on the racetrack, at least right this minute. Renger van der Zander out of the last time out race winning Cadillac for Chip Ganassi Racing. The 01 machine will have Kevin Magnussen aboard this fuel, new tires, waiting on the fuel, and the driver's side door is down. Kevin is fully strapped in and ready to go. boy, he's going to enjoy racing at Watkins Glen International.
No, that wasn't right. They did 35 laps in the first stint, and he was only in 10 laps ago. So there was something awry there with the United Autosport car. Whether they're trying to do something with regards to strategy, but they haven't been a full season entrant. They're not an entrant in the Michelin Endurance Cup. So that one might need following up with United Autosport USA. I'll leave Shea to get on with that. That was the car that was leading LMP3. It's now dropped to the back of the class. And the Andretti Autosport car, which pitted at roughly the same time, carries on in the lead. Theo Olsen in the Dawson Racing 84 car, now in second position. Huge lock-up for the leader as they come in, the leading two cars as they come into the pit lane. The lock-up was for Ricky Taylor. Hopefully, he'll be getting a new set of Michelin tyres, shirt, Adam.
He certainly should. They should be putting new tyres on every stop, is what the DPI teams told me. This is a driver change for the 60. Dane Cameron getting out, Olivier Plot getting in. I did not see the driver's side open for the 10, though. So Ricky Taylor staying aboard for yet another stint. Fuel and tyres going into the Konica Minolta Acura. Just behind them, though, second in the championship coming in this weekend, the 55 Mazda. Harry Tignall looking to try and jump that 60 Acura as they gave him a new drinks bottle, new tyres, a lot of fuel, and waiting on the fuel. No, he's not going to be able to get ahead of the Acura, but he's much closer to those two Acuras now than when he came into the pit lane. And Ricky Taylor, pivotally, still ahead of the Meyer Shank Racing Acura.
Where's the 01 car? Because that came in the lap prior.
At the moment, that has got Kevin Magnussen behind the wheel. And well, so he's just going down the back straight at the moment, Jeremy, in towards the chicane, in towards the inner loop.
Yeah, so he's still behind the two Acuras, okay.
Number of people mentioning how they're noticing the pit crew holding onto the cars. It is quite a pronounced downslope, Jeremy, from the middle of pit lane down towards the exit. And that was a little touch there as well between the number 60 Shank Racing car and squeezing down on the Andretti Autosport car, wasn't it, as it was going by the LMP3 car. I think Olivier Platt might get a finger wagging for that one, possibly just a warning. As in comes the number 11 Win Autosport leader in LMP2 into the pit lane. That was a move over by Ollie Platt. She didn't realise that the LMP3 car, the 36 Andretti car, was sitting alongside him. I'll keep an eye on Race Control Channel for that. Meantime, as I say, LMP3 leader in share. Blue, yellow, and a bit of carbon fibre. They've gone through quite a few tail ends of that car this weekend.
Yes, they have. But now the white and gold helmet of Tristan Nunez is clambering limberly behind the wheel of this car, taking over for Stephen Thomas as, yay, the 75 Sun Energy One Mercedes back out on the pit lane. It lives again. Great job by that crew to get it turned around. Fuel and tires for the Win Autosport number 11, the LMP2 car that came in from the lead. Stephen Thomas doing a great job. I hope they got their timing right, though, because he came in with about an hour and 31 minutes elapsed, that car having already made two pit stops. The time that you're on the pit lane does not count against your drive time. So that might mean that Steven is still a bit short on the hour and a half needed to do. And we'll see where everybody else decides to come in, because drivers such as Ben Keating and Dwight Merriman, who are still out on the track now, as well as Jared Andretti. We've got Olsen, Kurtz, Robinson, and McCusker are all drivers who would be applicable to come into the pits anytime now and have their day done. Oh, no, and the car 11 actually just got a drive-through penalty for speeding in the pit lane. They were 8 kilometers an hour over the limit, so that 11 car that had been leading going to need to come back for an indiscretion from race control. That stinks for that team.
Sorry, what was the penalty for, Shea?
Speeding on pit lane, plus 8, car 11.
Not even close. Not even close. See, if you're going to bust the pit lane speed limit, you know, you might as well have it in double figures. So you're going to get the same. Might as well get hung for a sheep or as a lamb, as the saying, saying goes. Coming up to a quarter past midday. Sun highest in the sky now.
Yeah, we've got the top four now, closer than they've been for a long, long time, John. We've got Ricky Taylor still was able to hang on to that lead after that pit stop. So two Acuras nose to tail now heading over the crest there towards turn eight. Kevin Magnussen is only a second or so behind them, and much closer to them now is Harry Tinknell in the number 55 Mazda. That's the car that started at the tail of the field in DPI, was kind of stuck behind a couple of cars early on. He's made great progress since then. And Harry Tinknell now is within 4 seconds of Magnussen and within 7 seconds of the overall lead. You might remember maybe 20 laps ago, it was about 16 seconds behind. So big progress there from that Mazda. It's got a fresh engine for this race. Precautionary change after they just didn't like some of the data they'd seen on the one they came here with it to start the weekend. And it seems to be running very nicely now.
Jeremy Shaw, he's in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre with me, John Hindorf. After the race, the checkered flag ends the competition, starts the conversation. Michelin Post Race Tech, hashtag Michelin PRT, as you drive the editorial in our post race show. The original listener and fan interaction programme. Let us know your thoughts on what you've seen today and over the IMSA weekend, points arising. Any questions you want to ask, and we'll get through as many as we can after the checkered flag has fallen. Try and grab a few driver interviews, go through the points, etc. as well. Coming down to, in fact, under 4.5 hours to go, we'll have a Mazda in-race update for you with a field rundown in about 10-15 minutes time. 0-1 in third position, and as it's all shaken out now after the second round of pit stops at the front of the field, it is Ricky Taylor that leads by just 0.8 of a second from Ollie Plahr, who is charging, and another second and a half further back is Kevin Magnussen. So they have, Jeremy, closed up a wee bit since that pit stop cycle, quite a lot actually.
Well, no, to be fair, they were actually nose to tail before the pit stops.
Of course they were, because they went across the line together.
But the big gainer, though, is Harry Tinknell. He's now just 5.4 seconds off the overall lead in that number 55 Mazda. So that is the big gainer, John. Just another couple of notes with that pit stop for the extra pit stop for the number 11 car. Even with that drive through, Tristan Nunez has been able to maintain the lead in LMP2, such as the job that Stephen Thomas did in that first stint. But with pit stops now for the other contenders, Guy Smith had done a great job to move himself up to second position in car number 22. He's now handed that car to Jim Maguire.
That's the United car, isn't it? Yeah.
The United car, indeed,
just
yes.
Coming to turn to the back straight chicken now. Perfectly timed, Jeremy, through the bus stop now.
Thank you very much indeed. And in GTLM, Nick Tandy still leads from Jordan Taylor. The gap between those two has come down a bit, actually. It's about 3 seconds now. Then the two BMWs are still running in lockstep, just a few seconds behind in third and fourth. In LMP3, most notable is Theodor Olsen in the number 84 car that started from the pit lane up into second place. It's just in the pits right now, hopefully for scheduled service, for its seconds. Scheduled stop of the day, had a penalty to serve because it started from the pit lane earlier on. But a brilliant run from Olsen up into second position, behind only Jared Andretti, who's leading the category after that, we think, unscheduled stop or out of sequence stop, certainly, for the United Autosports car of car number two, Austin McCusker. That was in the pits just about five laps ago.
Yeah, that Dawson Racing stint, that was nearly 51 minutes, Jeremy, and a full 28 laps, I think. Yeah, 28 laps. So they've done very well there. And as you say, having suffered the ignominy, and their own fault, that's something they'll have to learn. They didn't get out of the pits in time to grid up properly, so they had to start from the pit lane. That's a penalty in itself, isn't it? Having to wait for everybody to go by and get the green flag. Then you've got to come in under green flag conditions and do a drive-through. But they've made the best of that, and that car's had good pace, Jeremy. Very good pace indeed with Theodore Olsen. Don't know much about that driver, if I'm honest.
No, he's 21 years of age. He's from Norway originally, but he's been based over here for a while. He's been driving a fair bit of time in Radicals. He's on various other series as well. But it's certainly been a long-time goal of his to race in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship with Dawson Racing, with Ian Dawson and his son Simon. And they wanted to race last year, but the pandemic kind of put a halt to that. So here finally he is making his debut, and that was a really strong run by young Theodore. An excellent, excellent performance by him to get up into second place before his pit stop.
So, yeah, and that's put them right back in the game, to be honest. Yeah.
Right, he's back in the game. Yeah. Who's also back in the game? Harry Tinknell is now pretty much with the leaders. We've got the top four cars covered by not very much overall. As we look at the two BMWs still scrapping away, they're just three or four seconds behind the Corvettes, but still very much in the battle here for GTLM.
Yeah. And just if you're wondering where the fifth of the GTLM cars are, oil fire on that car earlier in the race to get back to the pit lane. But we haven't seen it yet. They'll be scrambling around. Our Porsche keys to the race, reminding everybody we're back here in 4 days. So anyone who has problems, well, they're not going anywhere. So at least they have some time in the garage area, in the paddock area, to be able to fix what has gone wrong. Also, remember, it's 6 hours. You need to be there at the end. But also, if you're in for the Michelin Endurance Cup points, you need to be there in the middle as well, very much there in the middle, because there's interim points to be awarded at the three-hour mark. So watch out as we, maybe when we add another hour on here, watch out for one or two teams maybe heading to the pits off kilter, off strategy, to try and get themselves the position for the better points in Michelin Endurance Challenge. And the tyres, that was the other Porsche key to the race. Fairly generous Michelin tyre allowance, which started from first free practice. We have noticed here, haven't we, a few teams putting on brand new sticker shiny sets of Michelins. So clearly there have been, as you would expect, saving them for the race. What we don't know is how many sets they've got left between now and the final pit stop.
Correct. And we don't know how many pit stops are coming up between now and the final pit stop, because all it takes is a caution. And then, that giant fluffy pink cat that we were talking about in morning warm-up making an appearance. And then all of a sudden there are more pit stops than you perhaps planned. And then you don't have enough tires to make it to the end of the race. That's why the big brains on the pit boxes are paid the big bucks. I've been sitting here trying to figure out who is done with the minimum drive time. It's an hour and a half for the LMP2, LMP3, and GTD categories, which means that anybody who comes in from GTD right now who started the race would be good to get out of the car and not have to drive again. But the drivers in LMP2 who have met the minimum drive time so far, Ben Keating is good. He's handed off to Scott Huffaker. Dwight Merriman is good. Kyle Tilley just took over the Arrat Motorsport car. I think Stephen Thomas is good, but I need to follow up on that once we've reached the two-hour elapsed mark of the race. And then in LMP3, Gar Robinson is good for the championship's leading Riley, number 74. And the other driver that I noticed, I can't remember now. Get back to me in a minute on that one, okay?
Allegra Motorsports, number 28 AMG on the front straight, now heading down towards the first corner. Michael Di Casada has been in that car since the start, sits in third in GTD. Prototype traffic there as he runs out over the yellow and red curbs at the exit of turn one. Very good. They're under pressure from behind, but about a second and a half
that's
behind.
That's surprising. Well, GTD, isn't it? Yeah, well,
there's more gaps than usual, Jeremy, to be honest, is what I was going to say.
They're right.
Aidan Reid, the Aussie, is closing in on them, about a second and a half behind. So Michael just having to keep hitting his marks and trying not to be slowed down. And we've said this time and time again, bears repeating though, Jeremy, there's a skill to being passed as well as there is to doing the passing, because what you don't want to do is go too much offline, ruin your tyres or throw yourself into the barriers while you're trying to let a faster car through.
No, you're absolutely right. We're still not even 2 hours into this six-hour race, and it is mentally, physically demanding. We've already talked about that, and it's warm out there. It's a real workout physically and mentally. Just another note about the leaders, Harry Tinknell. We've got to watch that Mazda. It's right on the tail now of K-Mag at the battle for third and fourth. We got the top four cars covered by 3 seconds as they complete 60 laps here at WGI in the Salem 6 hours of the Glen.
Jeremy Shaw, Shea Adam, John Hindhoff, good to have your company this Sunday afternoon. Beautiful weather conditions, getting up to almost 30 degrees Celsius in the air. That's 84 Fahrenheit, 95 Fahrenheit on the track, or 35 Celsius. So starting to warm up a little bit. The humidity, which was mid-70s in the percentages this morning, as the sun's come up and warmed things up, has dropped down to only 55%. Cloud cover minimal. It's the cotton wool sort of clouds, the Simpson type of clouds above Watkins Glen at the moment in beautiful region of upstate New York called the Finger Lakes. Fantastic place to come once you can start to travel again. Heartily recommend it. Great motorsport heritage here as well, and heritage of glass making as well, with the town of Corning just down the road. Some great places to stay and some fantastic hospitality around these areas. Some pretty good fishing as well if you have the time. Say again, Shea.
And great ice cream.
I might have known you would know that. I was very successful. I was very successful fishing here a few years ago what was my first time fishing from a boat. And I can tell you now, there is nothing better than sitting down of an evening in front of a log fire, eating fish that you caught yourself at 4 or 5 o'clock the same morning. Very satisfying indeed. Great way to prepare for this race a few years ago. Lake life.
There's something strange going on with the Era Motorsports LMP2 machine. I've just checked in with their team PR. Nothing being said over the radio by Kyle Tilly, but he had a lap 2 laps ago that lasted 4 minutes. He's just come out of the pit lane, showing as having dropped 3 laps. But you'd think if there was something wrong, the driver would be screaming about it on the radio. I'm wondering if perhaps it's just a timing glitch. I'm hoping it's just a timing glitch.
Well, with the Mazda in-race update coming, the top four are separated by only 4 seconds. So before that starts to get a bit tasty, possibly even more tasty than my fish that I caught here a few years ago. It's too late, in fact. The leaders are back together again, nose to tail, as they go through traffic. Ricky Taylor just about holding on. And another hip and shoulder from Ollie Pla, this time on the Grassa Racing Lamborghini. That's two that we've seen now. And even under the totting up procedure, he's going to be close to a yellow card there, isn't he? In soccer terms, he's going to keep getting away with that. Let's quickly take a Mazda in-race update. We'll start in GTD, where Trent Hindman for right... Third place, yeah. Let's stay with that for a moment through the first turn and up through the second corner, up the hill. Tinknell now right ahead. So he's managed to get through there, Jeremy, in the time it took me to look away and look back, because as they crossed the line, Magnussen was still in the lead. And Magnussen coming back down the inside, outside rather, into the inner loop, doesn't quite have the momentum to go through. Turn of BMW and Allegra AMG ahead of them through the outer loop, but the downforce driven prototypes go round the outside on the high side, then cut back to the low side for turn six. But Tinknell's through and is disappearing, and the gap to the lead is now just 4.5 seconds. Change for third place then. Let's start our Mazda in-race update then with that category where the change has just happened. Ricky Taylor back in the lead from Ollie Pla, and by 1.1 seconds as they're going through traffic. New third place, Harry Tinknell has got past Kevin Magnussen. So it's the 55 Mazda from the 01. We'll get to the car stranded in the inner loop in a second. LMP2, Wynn Autosport by 34.5 seconds from PR1 Matheson, 11 from 52, and United in third in the 22 car, another half minute back. Nick Tandy giving his daughter Eva the perfect seventh birthday present at the moment. He's got 4.5 seconds of a lead from Jordan Taylor in the second of the Corvettes, 4 from 3. Spengler from Krohn, 25 from 24, the two BMWs. 4 seconds further back, those BMWs, and absolutely together. George Kurtz leads for Core Autosport in LMP3 in the number 54 car by 13 seconds from Dylan Murray for Riley's number 91. And in third, it's Austin McCusker for United. GTD, Hindman for Wright Motorsport in the 16 blue Porsche. Kirkwood for Vassar Sullivan's bright yellow RCF Lexus, the number 14. And Di Casada and Reed battling for that fourth place. Allegra and Turner in the AMG and the BMW. That's your Mazda in-race update as we have 4 hours and 8 minutes remaining at the Glen. So, Shea Adam, we've got plenty of going on out on the circuit with two cars now stranded. And we've gone full course yellow, one of them being the car I've just mentioned in third place in their category, the LMP3 category, with the orange end plates and door panels. And that is the United Autosports car facing in the wrong direction for Austin McCusker. And he may have had help again. And it's Ollie Pla again who's in that area. Ooh, I don't think he did touch him that side that time. But Austin McCusker had to try and pinch down and lost the back end of that car. Other car that we had an issue with was stopped in the... in the entrance to the bus stop, but that was the number 18, and that got back going again. So that managed to refire whatever was wrong with that car, the Aero Motorsport car, and that's reported as going again. Full course yellow.
For the time being, it's reported as going, John. I said I hoped it was just a glitch. It is a glitch, but unfortunately, it's in the form of an electronic glitch within the car. The word gremlin was actually used. So, yeah, not good news for Aero Motorsport and the team that comes into this championship second in the Michelin Endurance and second in points. Ouchie.
You hate to hear electronics issues, Jeremy, because they are so difficult to track down.
Yeah, you really do. It's very frustrating indeed. And this full course caution, the second only of the day. It's been, an hour and a half since we went green for the after the first caution of the day. So we can finally take a bit of a breather. Yeah, I think a little bit unfortunate there for Austin McCusker as he brings that number two car into the pits for emergency service. Not going to be able to do much to that car, but they're not. There's no rush there either, is there, at the moment? I think he was just taken a little bit by surprise there by Oli Plaa going around the outside. As you said, John, he had to kind of tighten his line a little bit on the exit. I don't think Plaa really did anything wrong there, and just an unfortunate incident for Austin McCusker. Assuming it's just a super job he'd done in this race so far, but the tail cover is off that number two United Autosports Ligier.
That's going to take some fixing then. That's damage to the right rear of the bodywork, the little cheese wedge in behind the wheel. But I think a bit of tape might sort that one out.
Well, that is a useful aspect of having both cars with the same livery, John. They don't need multiple colors of duct tape, and they are using some red duct tape to fix that right rear cheese wedge area of the car. But as Jeremy said, no urgency going on with this stop. And yes, it's under a yellow. You're losing less ground than you would have otherwise, but still, they should be working a little bit more frantically. I'm not sure that IMSA is going to denote the tape on the cheese wedge as emergency service either. It's not something that needed to be done when the pits were closed necessarily. So we'll see if that warrants another pit drive through.
Okay. The yellow came out a long time before they got round. So yes, absolutely, yeah. Right. Absolutely right. They coming down to 4 hours, and there's a lot of work going on there. Wheel coming back off again now, as well. Very close between Plaa and that car. I mean, this is good news for Tinknell because it brings everybody back into play, Jeremy, ahead of him. So, I mean, he was only 2 seconds behind anyway, but he would have, I think he would have caught them with his pace as far as where they are in their pit rotation at the moment. They all came in roughly the same time. In fact, they've all been out. They're on their 15th lap out, so they're about two-thirds of the way through their pit rotation at the moment, the top three. So, pit or no pit? There's the question. I think pit, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the pit then will get very, very busy in a few minutes. Was there somebody just serving emergency service there, other than the number two car?
That is the two sitting at the end of pit lane, Jeremy.
Okay, there was another one that went past in front of that. I thought I caught a glimpse. Let's have another look at that replay of the incident. Yeah, I think Austin just sort of pinched it down a little bit. A bit unfortunate there. I don't think there was any contact between the two cars, but there was contact with the right side of the number two car against the barrier as Austin McCusker spun around. So that's why that required a pit stop. And for those of you at the track who perhaps not too familiar with IMSA competition, there'll be the pass around shortly, and that what that means is any car that is trapped in between the safety car, the safety Corvette, and the class, the respective class leaders, will be allowed to go past the pack, past the safety car, and then pull around to the back of the lead lap. So it isn't inconvenienced by the time of this caution period. Those cars have not been lapped by their class leader, and so we'll be able to move around. But with the track clearing process going on there through the inner loop at the moment, it might be a lap or so before that takes place. It has been completed already, has it? Okay, fine. Missed that on the scoring system. So that has been. There are not many cars actually. The number you can see the number 16 car is right behind. He'd just been overtaken by the overall leaders, so there won't be a pass around for the GTD cars. I think GTLM's ditto, they're all on the same lap in any case. There might have been an LMP3 car, perhaps, who was chapped back a bit. But you know, relatively few cars required the pass around during this full course caution. Certainly all the DPIs are on the lead lap in any case, so nothing required there.
Hello to Justin Henderson, watching and listening multiple feeds from the Radio Show Limited network at the moment, with Johnny and Bruce on duty as well today, as well as IMSA Radio. We'll be back on the Friday, of course, for more coverage of the races. Check imsaradio.com for our live times. We'll have, as usual, full live unblocked coverage in sound and vision of the IMSA WeatherTech Sportscar Championship qualifying session. And then for those of you outside the States, we'll have the whole race live and uninterrupted again in sound and vision. We never block the audio, so wherever you are in the world, you can always hear what we're doing. And today we're on XM202 as well as on our usual syndications. Always have an XM or an XM and a Sirius channel. They've got plenty going on today with Tour de France and the Euros, so we're just on XM, but it's XM202 this weekend. Spot on the 4 minute mark, 4 minute, 4 hour mark, and Shea Adam, here come the DPIs.
Yes, and we don't discriminate. Also, if you're in space and you want to listen to us, talk to NASA. It has been done before. Into the pit lane, I would expect Ricky Taylor to be vacating the cockpit of the number 10, Konica Minolta Acura, to either... Actually, no, it should be Alexander Rossi. I think he was next up on the rotation. Into the pit box for the number 60, Meyer Shank Racing Acura, Olivier Pla staying aboard that one. Fuel and new tires. They are stickers. They are nice and shiny. That'll make him very happy. Harry Ticknell in with the 55 Mazda. It should be Jonathan Balmeredo taking over at this point in the race. Kevin Magnussen will be staying aboard the 01 Cadillac for Chip Ganassi Racing. I believe fuel and tires there. Yep, those are the used tires coming off. First off the pit lane was Olivier Pla. Second off the pit lane, Jonathan Balmeredo back to the net. Third was Kevin Magnussen. Fourth, Alexander Rossi. Fifth, Felipe Nasr. So we did see quite a few driver changes in the prototype class. In the LMP2, we've got Scott Huffaker in from the lead of that class in the number 52. No driver change should be happening there. And Tristan Nunez is in for the 11. I would expect him to stay aboard as well.